Imagine you are trying to figure out if you need a sweater before you walk into a house. You know, you ask someone inside for the temperature and they tell you, well, they say, oh, it's a perfectly comfortable 72 degrees on
Which is
average.
great on paper.
Right. Sounds perfectly fine. So you leave your coat in the car, but then you walk through the front door and you discover that the kitchen is, I mean, quite literally on fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the living room is freezing because the windows are wide open in the middle of a blizzard. So that average temperature they gave you.
Technically correct, I guess.
Exactly, it was mathematically correct, but practically speaking, it was completely useless. Worse than useless, actually, because it gave you this false sense of security. It left you totally unprepared for reality. And if you are looking at the Western Algarve real estate market in 2026, I mean, you are walking into that exact house.
That is honestly a phenomenal way to look at it. Because treating the Western Algarve as one uniform, perfectly blended market is hands down the single biggest mistake
Yeah.
a buyer can make right now. It's a fundamental misreading of the landscape, and frankly, it's how people end up, entirely blowing their budgets or just walking away frustrated.
Totally. And we are not just guessing or, relying on anecdotal neighborhood gossip here. Today's deep dive is built on a fascinating new report by Live Algarve Realty that basically pulls the fire alarm on this exact issue.
It really does.
So our mission today is to tear away those misleading blended headline numbers that get blasted across all the news sites. We are going to look closely at towns like Lagos, Praia da Luz, and Burgau and uncover the three totally different, totally separate stories that are playing out right next to each other.
Which is so important for buyers to grasp.
Exactly. We are going to look at the data, the psychology of the modern buyer,
Yeah.
the invisible geographical forces restricting supply, and exactly what this means for your wallet if you are looking at property this year. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Right. So to really understand the disconnect, we have to establish the baseline that everyone else is looking at, and then, well, we just have to break it apart piece by piece.
Okay, lay it on us.
So if you look at the Algarve as a whole region in 2026, the data from independent market trackers gives you an average asking level of roughly 4,050 euros per square meter.
Okay.
And closed prices, the actual final sale numbers, they sit just a little bit below that.
Right. And if you are a buyer sitting at your laptop thousands of miles away, say you're in New York or London, you see that 4,050 euros per square meter and you build your entire financial model around it.
Exactly.
Let's say you want 150 square meters, so you multiply that out and think, great, I need about 600,000 euros. But it acts like this financial blinder,
Right,
right?
absolutely.
It forces you to look straight ahead at this imaginary middle ground, and you end up completely ignoring what is actually happening on the extremes of the market.
Yeah, and that is the real danger of the average. When you take off that blinder and break the region down by property type, I mean, the spread is staggering.
Tell me about it.
According to the current data in the Live Algarve Realty report, if you are looking at apartments, the average is actually sitting near 330,000 euros.
Okay.
But step up to townhouses, and you are closer to 480,000 euros.
Which, to be fair, that feels like a logical progression. You get a little more space. Maybe you only share one wall instead of being surrounded on all sides by neighbors.
Right.
Maybe you get a small private patio,
Right.
so you pay a bit more for that privilege.
Right.
But then we hit the detached villas, and the entire curve just
But it
snaps.
doesn't just snap. I mean, the math totally disconnects from the rest of the market. Detached villas are averaging around 900,000 euros.
Wow.
And if you are looking at prime villas on larger plots, those are rocketing well past 2.2 million euros.
Wait, I want to stop right there and put this into perspective because we are talking about properties that are physically located in the same geographic region.
Sometimes in the exact same zip code.
Exactly. But they are operating in entirely different financial universes. Let's zoom in on Lagos to make this super concrete for everyone listening, because Lagos is kind of the perfect microcosm for this dynamic.
It really is.
The report points out that general property in Lagos-like, blending everything together, is trading at around 4,500 to 4,600 euros per square meter this year.
Which is already slightly above the regional average, but it's still somewhat tethered to reality.
Right. But then let's say you go on to Idealista, and just for our listeners who might not be browsing European real estate daily. Idealista is basically the Zillow or the Rightmove of Southern Europe.
Yeah, it's the massive portal everyone uses.
Right. So back in early August of 2026, if you filtered your search on Idealista to only look at detached homes in Lagos, there were about 95 of them on the market.
Okay.
Do you know the average asking level for those specific 95 homes? Almost 7,199 euros per square meter. That is nearly double the blended town average.
Yeah. What's fascinating here is how geography acts as a massive multiplier on top of the property type. It is not just about, you know, having four standalone walls and a roof.
Right, it's location.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you look at the prime coastal pockets, the properties that actually overlook the water in places like Praia da Luz, Burgau,
yeah,
the numbers stretch out even further.
How far are we talking?
Well, the strongest villa locations across the Algarve are sitting between roughly 5,000 and 9,000 euros per square meter. And the absolute top addresses are pushing beyond even that ceiling.
That is wild. Meanwhile, if you look inland, like away from the coast, or if you head over to the eastern Algarve towards the Spanish border, you can still find stock sitting much closer to 2,000 to 3,000 euros per square meter.
Right, which means the western Algarve, as an entire subregion, sits firmly in the upper half of that massive pricing spread. That baseline geographical desirability, you know, the dramatic cliffs, the specific lifestyle, it's a huge part of the reason why its villa prices have proven so incredibly resilient, even as other parts of the world cool down.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, because we know that overall regional growth in the wider Algarve has actually eased up this year, right?
It has. Yeah.
It has slowed down from the really frantic double-digit frenzy of recent years to something nearer to 10 or 12% growth in 2026, which, I mean, is still growth, but it represents a cooling market.
Definitely.
So the natural burning question is, if the broader market is taking a breath, who on earth is paying these massive premiums for detached villas? And why are they seemingly immune to normal economic gravity?
Well, to understand that immunity, you really have to look closely at the demographic of the villa buyer in the Western Algarve. They are overwhelmingly international.
Okay.
And crucially, a very large share of them are paying in pure cash, or they are utilizing, you know, very, very modest borrowing.
I love the way you phrased that immunity earlier in our notes. You said they are like financial spaceships that have completely escaped the gravity of the local economy.
Right. Yes.
Because down on Earth, the local buyers are dealing with the weather, right? Shifts in the Portuguese mortgage rates, local inflation, cost of living increases.
Exactly.
A slight bump in interest rates is a thunderstorm for a local buyer. But for an international cash buyer up in orbit, it barely registers. The terrestrial weather just bounces right off their hull.
That is a very apt way to visualize it, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, compare that spaceship demographic to the typical buyer pool for apartments or smaller townhouses.
Right.
That terrestrial pool is just much broader. It includes people looking for rental yields, local residents trying to get on the housing ladder, and buyers who are highly dependent on financing.
So they're feeling the squeeze.
Exactly. They are inherently rate sensitive. Whenever borrowing costs tick upward, or even when general economic sentiment just wobbles a little bit in Europe, that broader pool of apartment buyers thins out immediately.
Makes sense.
Demand drops and prices flatten because the buyers simply can't afford the monthly payments anymore.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Even, let's call him cash buyer Carl from London, who has 2 million euros sitting in a bank account. He cares about getting a good deal, right?
Sure.
Nobody gets rich by overpaying. So if the overall market is cooling, why wouldn't these wealthy buyers just lowball the sellers? Like, why do prices stay so high if the buyers are smart with their money?
Because you have to factor in the psychology of the seller, which actually mirrors the buyer perfectly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the people selling these villas often bought them in cash, too. They're selling second homes, or they are, you know, adjusting their retirement portfolio.
Ah, so they aren't desperate.
Exactly. They are not distressed. They are not looking for a quick flip or trying to escape a crushing variable rate mortgage. That makes them incredibly patient. If a buyer comes in with a lowball offer, the seller simply says, no, thank you, and waits. They're slow to move and incredibly firm on their asking prices, which creates this totally solid floor under the market.
That makes total sense. It's basically a standoff between two parties who don't actually need to transact.
Precisely.
But wait, I want to push back on another piece of this. The report talks heavily about the physical product itself, right? It argues that the pandemic completely rewired how people look at real estate.
It did.
But didn't the pandemic home buying frenzy end years ago? I mean, we are in 2026. Why are we still talking about remote work fortresses and private pools like it's a new trend?
It's a fair question, but the data shows it wasn't just a temporary blip. It was a structural, permanent reset of what the high-end buyer values in a home.
Okay.
The Liv Algarve Realty Report highlights three specific things that buyers prioritize now more than ever, and they just haven't let go of these demands.
Oh, sure.
Private outdoor space, a private swimming pool, and genuine physical separation from their neighbors. Before the pandemic, a luxury apartment with a shared rooftop pool was highly desirable. Now, for a certain tier of buyer, sharing a pool is a deal breaker.
Wow. And if you want all three of those things guaranteed, the space, the private pool, the total lack of shared walls, an apartment just won't do it.
No.
A terraced townhouse won't do it. Only a detached villa reliably delivers all three at once.
Exactly. Mathematically, when you have a large pool of well-funded, cash-heavy demand, concentrating purely on a specific set of features, and those features are exclusive to only one property type.
That property type skyrockets.
Yes. Is going to violently pull away from the rest of the pack. The demand concentrates on one narrow slice of the market, and the price just elevates.
Which brings us to the obvious other side of the economic equation, which is supply. If detached villas are the hottest ticket in town, and buyers are lining up with cash to secure their private pools and gardens, why aren't developers just throwing up 1,000 new villas to cash in? It seems like basic economics, right?
You'd think so.
If the demand is there, build the supply.
In a standard market, that's exactly what would happen.
Uh-huh.
But supply in the Western Algarve is constrained by what I like to call the quiet force underneath this entire trend.
The quiet force. I like that.
Yeah. You simply cannot produce villas quickly in this region. The roadblocks are substantial and in many cases entirely permanent.
Okay, let's break those roadblocks down because they aren't just red tape, right? They are physical realities. First, you have the actual terrain.
Right.
You can't just flatten out the Algarve coastline. There are natural geographical limits to where you can build safely and beautifully without, you know, sliding off a cliff.
And beyond the sheer physics of the cliffs, you have strict conservation rules. A massive portion of this area falls under the Costa Vicentina.
Right, and we should probably clarify what that is for listeners who haven't visited. The Costa Vicentina is a massive protected natural park that runs down the western coast of Portugal.
It's stunning.
It is stunning, wild, and heavily, heavily restricted.
Which is wonderful for preserving the beauty of the area, but it immediately removes massive swaths of potential land from development entirely. You simply cannot build there. No matter how much money you have.
And even in the areas where you can theoretically build, the modern planning rules have completely pivoted, haven't they?
Absolutely.
The local authorities heavily favor the restoration of existing structures over massive new urban sprawl. They don't want endless rows of new concrete rolling over the hills like you see in parts of southern Spain.
Which creates a massive dilemma for any developer who actually does manage to secure a piece of scarce, developable land near the coast. Think about the basic math of real estate development here.
Okay.
Let's say you're a developer and you just spent 3 million euros on a prime acre of land. Your goal is maximum return on that massive investment, right?
Right. So I have a choice. Do I use that entire acre to build one sprawling, beautiful, detached villa for a single wealthy buyer? Let's say I sell it for 6 million. I've made a profit. But what's the alternative?
The alternative is you use that exact same single acre to build a luxury complex with 10 high-end apartments.
Ah.
You sell them for 1 million euros each. Suddenly, your revenue from that same piece of dirt is 10 million euros instead of 6.
Wow.
The existing pipeline of new builds heavily leans toward apartments and townhouses because they use that scarce, expensive land far more intensively. The profit margins are just better for density.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, what does that actually mean for the market ecosystem?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it means you have a standing stock of detached villas that grows incredibly slowly. Developers aren't building many of them.
Because they're building apartments.
Exactly. And as we discussed earlier regarding the cash-rich demographic, the existing stock turns over even more slowly because the owners are rarely forced to sell. So you end up with a very thin, very slow-moving pool of the absolute most wanted product in the region. That is the perfect recipe for firm, unyielding prices.
And it completely destroys the buyer's leverage, doesn't it? I mean, let's picture cash buyer Carl again.
Okay.
He walks into a viewing for a villa in Burgo. He can't threaten to go buy the identical house next door because there literally isn't one.
That's the reality. As the Live Algarve report points out, at any given moment, there might only be a handful of comparable homes in a specific village.
Right.
If one of them is well-presented, properly priced, and hits the market, a motivated buyer has almost zero leverage. That property will attract competing interest within weeks, sometimes days. You can't negotiate aggressively when there are two other people with cash standing right behind you.
But if you are looking at an apartment in a large new development, the dynamic flips entirely.
Completely flips.
There might be a dozen units available in the same building. There is plentiful choice, which hands the advantage right back to the buyer and keeps the developer's asking prices very honest. If the developer won't budge on price, you just go to the development down the street.
Yes. The scarcity creates the absolute premium for villas, while the relative abundance keeps the apartment and townhouse market grounded.
So what does this all mean? We've diagnosed the market. We know the average price is a dangerous illusion. We know who is buying. We know why they won't lower their prices. And we know why developers can't just build more to satisfy the demand.
Right.
How does the person listening to this right now actually use this information? Let's open up the 2026 playbook.
Well, if you are in the market for a detached villa, the most practical piece of advice is to move deliberately and be prepared. A lot of buyers sit on the sidelines waiting for a broad market correction to swoop in and get a deal.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
They read a headline about European housing markets cooling, and they think they can grab a bargain. But the data strongly suggests that this specific segment, the top-tier villas in the Western Algarve, shows zero signs of delivering a correction.
Zero signs.
None. The prices at the top have proven incredibly sticky.
So you can't just casually browse Idealista on a Sunday from your couch in London, fly down on a Thursday, and expect to negotiate a 20% discount on a prime villa by Monday.
It simply won't happen. If you are serious, you need to have your house in order before you even book the flight. You need to set up your financing, if you are using any, and absolutely secure your independent legal representation before you start viewing properties.
I want to highlight that legal part because it is so crucial in Portugal.
It really is.
People coming from the US or the UK often assume the real estate agent handles all the checks and balances or that the title company automatically does it. But in Portugal, the rigorous due diligence actually sits with your own appointed lawyer.
Yes, it is entirely on you and your legal team. Arranging independent bilingual legal representation early is paramount. When the right plot or the right villa appears, you need to be in a position to act instantly.
You can't be scrambling for a phone number.
Exactly. Portuguese bureaucracy can be complex, especially regarding planning permissions and land boundaries. You cannot afford to lose 2 weeks trying to find a lawyer who speaks your language and understands the local zoning laws while three other cash buyers are already submitting their offers.
Okay, but what if you are the flexible buyer, the listener who says, look, I don't need a sprawling estate. I don't need to be totally isolated. I just want a beautiful place near the beach where I can turn the key, enjoy the summer, and lock it up when I leave.
Then you are actually in a very strong position this year. The same trend that is squeezing the villa market points in the exact opposite direction for you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. If total privacy, a private pool, and a large plot of land are not absolute deal breakers for you, apartments and townhouses represent a much better value trade in 2026.
Because you aren't fighting cash buyer Carl, who is demanding his private fortress, you're playing a totally different game.
You are. You get shorter queues of rival buyers, a significantly lower entry price, and, as we discussed, actual room to negotiate.
Right.
As the report summarizes, it is less about which segment is objectively superior and more about which trade you would rather make with your budget. Do you want to pay a premium for extreme scarcity, or do you want to leverage the abundance of the apartment market to get a better deal?
It is about buying the reality of the market, not the illusion of the average.
And acknowledging that this widening gap between villas and everything else is a structural reality. I cannot stress this enough. This is not a passing quirk of one busy summer season.
Right.
It is driven by genuinely scarce product, a patient set of owners, and a buyer base that continually arrives with the leads to pay a premium for space and seclusion.
It is a perfect storm of geography, psychology, and economics. So, to quickly recap our journey today, we started by realizing that taking the average price per square meter in the Algarve is like taking the average temperature of a house on fire.
Good analogy.
It completely hides the reality on the ground. We saw how cash-rich international buyers, our financial spaceships, are driving massive demand for the privacy and space that only detached villas offer, completely ignoring shifts in local mortgage rates.
Right.
And we saw how strict geographical limits, like the Costa Vicentina, along with planning rules and developer economics, are heavily capping the supply of new villas, creating an unshakable premium on these properties in the Western Algarve.
This raises an important question.
It really does. Because if this trend continues exactly as we've laid it out, where the most desirable, unbuildable land on the coast is being consistently snapped up by cash-rich international buyers who never actually need to sell, what does the future look like?
Yeah.
Are we looking at a reality where coastal detached villas in the Western Algarve become permanent legacy assets? Imagine a scenario 20 or 30 years from now where the open market for these prime properties effectively disappears entirely. Because instead of being listed on Idealista, they are just passed down privately, in trusts, generation after generation, completely insulated from the normal real estate cycle.
It's definitely possible.
It is a fascinating and maybe slightly intimidating thought to ponder if you are looking to buy in 2026. So keep questioning those headline numbers, look at the data beneath the averages, and thank you for joining us on this deep dive.